Hey, good morning. My name is Jennifer Juris, and I am from the Youth Leadership Institute in San Francisco, California. We have offices in San Francisco, San Mateo County, Marin County, and Fresno counties, all in California. And I'm going to be talking today about what do young people contribute to community and school alcohol, tobacco, and other drug prevention. So, and I have no financial relationships to disclose. So to talk about this topic, what do young people contribute to community and school ATOD prevention, I'm going to be talking about a system that the Youth Leadership Institute works with. It's called California Friday Night Live. So I'm going to be using, it's a statewide system in California, a statewide system of youth programs. And I'm going to be talking about what do young people contribute and talking about local work. And I'm going to be talking about what do young people contribute to prevention in terms of statewide work. And I'm going to address a little bit about some of the community level outcomes that we've seen and then talk about next steps for examining youth contributions. So just to give you a little bit of background about the system that I'm talking about for California Friday Night Live, this is a system that was founded in the early 1980s. It was originally funded by the Office of Traffic Safety, and it's implemented across the state. So county offices of education, public health, mental health, community-based organizations. So it can be either in schools or in communities. So the number of programs per county can vary. You know, we have very small communities, especially up north, like Del Norte County or Shasta, where they may just have, you know, a couple programs, like three or four, all the way to Los Angeles, Orange County, Riverside County, where they may have, you know, a couple hundred programs operating out of that county. And they, you know, they may be based in traditional or alternative school settings. They may be in community-based settings, so after-school centers, nonprofits. But we also see them in juvenile halls and in group homes. So a variety of populations and settings. And originally, Friday Night Live was focused on preventing drinking and driving. So, like I said, the Office of Traffic Safety funded this. Friday Night Live was supposed to be about providing alternative activities so that young people weren't drinking and driving on Friday night. So it was having dances, having alcohol-free activities, having things for youth to do that didn't involve alcohol. And it didn't have any logic model. It didn't have any really a lot of formal requirements for participating, and there wasn't really any evaluation of it. So starting in the late 90s and early 2000s, youth leadership became involved with the system, and we started helping the system make a shift. So one is we looked at youth development research and found that when young people are given youth development supports and opportunities and leadership opportunities, that they achieve a lot of the outcomes that we're hoping to see through alcohol, tobacco, and other drug prevention programs. So young people don't drink, they don't engage, you know, they're less likely to abuse substances, they're less likely to have other to not have other outcomes that we're trying to prevent, like teen pregnancy and violence. And then you see those outcomes, you know, continue on into later life. So you have young people who are more likely to be civically engaged and employed and have the outcomes that we hope that they achieve in adulthood. So we helped, that we did a pilot, we did some research, we helped them shift to incorporate this youth development model where young people were going to be taking charge of doing alcohol, tobacco, and other drug prevention projects in their communities rather than just participating in activities. And so really now the system has young people engaged in action research, policy, advocacy, and other environmental prevention strategies related to ATOD prevention, and it's all to create positive change related to alcohol, tobacco, and other drugs and violence in their communities. So currently, we don't have you take a curriculum off the shelf and it leads you through every meeting that you do with young people. So as you can imagine, this is pretty challenging. So, you know, you have people across the state with different backgrounds and experience working with young people, different experiences with ATOD prevention. So they're all implementing this model, and what we've developed for them is a Friday Night Live roadmap. And so the process that young people go through, no matter what their issue area is, whether it's alcohol or tobacco or other drugs, they go through a similar process. So, and it's pretty similar to in California, we have the strategic prevention framework that adult coalition members go through in their community change work. So they go through a similar process of preparation and outreach. So they go, they make sure they have all the young, this is part of recruiting other young people. It's reaching out to adults who need to be on board with them. So it's reaching out to their principals and people at their schools. It's reaching out to law enforcement. It's reaching out to other agencies, making sure that you have the adults on board if you're going to do community level change work, or more school personnel if you're doing school level work. So making sure you have everybody on board. Doing capacity building. So part of what we do with the system is we help provide training for adults so that they can help provide the training and support to young people around any number of topics. So it's understanding how to create environmental prevention change. So, you know, how do you move beyond individual level prevention where you might be doing individual level education to working on policy, to addressing community norms or school norms, to addressing access to alcohol or access to substances. So rather than moving beyond prevention to creating changes that will limit access, basically, and changing social norms. And then young people, after they do that capacity building, so after they get trained on environmental prevention or youth and adult partnerships or how to run a meeting or how to do public speaking or any number of things that they need to know how to do to create change, they do some assessment and some research. So, you know, good community level change is based on data, so you have to identify community needs. So they might do photo voice, or they might look at existing community surveys or do their own survey or do interviews or focus groups. So we provide training on to help young people engage in that process and identify community needs. And then they do action planning and they implement that plan. And what I'm going to be talking about today is some of the plans that we're seeing right now in the system. So we've just gone through a process of interviewing coordinators in all the counties to find out, okay, so what are you doing this year? What are some of your needs coming up? So kind of looking at a system snapshot, so what are young people doing to prevent ATOD? Particularly underage use in their community. And then Friday Night Live chapters and young people are engaged in evaluating their outcomes. So we're a little bit less consistent in that area, but I'll talk about that later on in the presentation. So what do young people contribute in terms of underage ATOD prevention? Young people, you know, so this is all based on data. Some of the projects that we're seeing currently for reducing commercial access to alcohol, so young people across the state are engaged in community stores campaigns. And keep in mind, so I've listed some examples of campaigns that young people are doing across California. They go through a similar process from the previous slide. So all of these campaigns involve doing outreach, involve doing research, and then taking action. So they're doing community stores campaigns where they're doing research, they're doing store assessments, where they might be figuring out, okay, so what are the stores, mapping them around their schools, figuring out how much alcohol advertising is there, where is alcohol placed, is there signage saying that that people under 21 won't be served. Are alcoholic beverages kept separate from the products that young people are likely to buy? So looking at those types of things. The Responsible Merchant Awards campaign is more interacting with merchants. So it's doing a campaign where you start out with doing media outreach. You say you're doing this campaign, doing outreach to merchants all over the community, and inviting them to participate, where you're going to honor somebody who's really exemplary in terms of being a responsible merchant. So, and then young people go out and they do store surveys, and then they interview merchants to see, okay, so what is your process? What kind of server training do you have? How do you train your employees? What does your signage look like? Are you following the LEED law in terms of alcohol advertising? So really doing a store assessment, doing interviews, then doing media outreach. So to say, get community buy-in in terms of and community awareness of what's going on, and then publicly recognizing merchants who are doing a really exemplary job. So, giving them an award in front of the Chamber of Commerce, in front of City Council, making sure that you hold a press conference, and making sure that there's really strong community recognition of what merchants are doing. And but we also have young people who are doing store makeover campaigns where they might go in and actually remove signage and form partnerships with farmers markets to actually get fresh produce in as an additional issue. Make sure that alcohol is clearly labeled and kind of do a store makeover, remove the alcohol advertising and put in community-friendly artwork or community murals and doing store cleanups. So a lot of different campaigns addressing commercial access to alcohol. In terms of social access to alcohol, we have young people across the state. It kind of peaked in popularity a couple of years ago, but still young people working on both passing and then helping to make sure that existing social host ordinances are being enforced. So going through and doing some research, doing some community mobilization around understanding what does social hosting look like, what does social access to alcohol look like for underage youth in the community, and doing media advocacy, meeting with decision makers, drafting model ordinances, testifying, trying to get them passed. So young people involved in critical ways in getting social host ordinances passed, and then for those who in previous years have gotten them passed, looking at data, interviewing law enforcement, trying to figure out, okay, so is this being enforced, and if it isn't, why, and what can we do, and creating action plans around that. In combination with that, doing parent pledges, where they sign pledges where they won't be, where they pledge not to, to lock up their alcohol and to not provide alcohol to young people, and doing parent education about why that's necessary. So doing parent education at events and then also through the media, so creating media messages about why that's important. And also to address underage alcohol, we have young people across the state working on trace policies. So that's tracing responsibility for alcohol-connected emergencies. So at the state level, that's something where the California Highway California State Police have adopted this, and it's a policy where if there is an alcohol-connected emergency, like a traffic accident, and young people are involved and there's alcohol involved, they trace back and figure out where that young person got the alcohol and hold that either merchant or person responsible. And although that's been adopted at the statewide level, at the local level, young people are working with their local law enforcement and working with community agencies to figure out, okay, so what's their local implementation plan? How are we going to make sure that we're doing that in our community? So making sure that that policy is enforced. In terms of addressing social norms related to particularly alcohol, we have a number of people doing at the school level positive social norms campaigns. So again, doing assessment surveys. So this is doing a survey to figure out, the basis behind positive social norms is that everybody thinks that everybody else is drinking much more than they actually are. So it's, oh, everybody's doing it, and it promotes a norm saying that, oh, I should probably be drinking, or it's just really commonly accepted. So you do research and you show that actually that everybody thinks everybody else is drinking, but that everybody reports that they're actually drinking a lot less, and advertising those results so that people realize not everybody is doing it. And so, and getting the actual behavior that people do and really promoting that as the new norm. So we have people young people throughout the state of California doing those campaigns in the schools. And then also doing some campaigns around Cinco de Mayo each year. So we always have some communities, thank you, who focus on Cinco de Mayo and kind of taking, in California, Cinco de Mayo is really big. And it's really kind of doing a campaign where you're in the media, you're talking about, okay, so what is the true cultural meaning behind Cinco de Mayo? Doing assessments of cultural events and showing how much alcohol advertising plays a role in that and how much alcohol is playing, it has kind of taken over a cultural celebration, and trying to take that back. So working with people throughout the community to bring back the meaning of the celebration and reduce the amount of alcohol available. In terms of tobacco access, we have young people who are advocating for stricter tobacco retailer permit ordinances. We have young people in San Francisco who are addressing tobacco outlet density. So they're actually working on policies to try and make the number of tobacco licenses more equitable across neighborhoods in San Francisco. So they've done some action research showing that the neighborhoods, looking at community characteristics and realizing that neighborhoods that are lower income, a higher percent of community of color, have more young people, actually have much more tobacco outlets, and trying to make it equitable across neighborhoods in terms of a social justice perspective, because there, and also because of the research showing that the number of tobacco outlets is related to rate of smoking, particularly for youth. And in terms of smoke-free spaces, so we have young people, one example is in San Mateo County, advocating for smoke-free spaces. So they've gotten local policies passed where, for example, farmers markets are now smoke-free, and they've done that with other events and spaces in California. And also, you know, just they're doing prescription drug campaigns too, similarly, where they do research at the local level, they advertise the results in the media, and they work with parents and they work with schools to try and get people to sign pledges and become more aware of what's going on and reduce the access to prescription drugs. And then finally, they at the local level, they're doing community mobilization around ATOD issues. So they're supporting town hall meetings. They're doing photo voice projects, where a part of that is photographing issues in the community based on a research question, but also using that as a way to mobilize the community around the issue through exhibiting their photographs. And then assisting and educating other youth, we have student pledges, we have education at community and school events. Young people are hosting training institutes and conferences and training other young people on how to do this work. And they're doing DUI courts, where they are having a DUI hearing that young people attend, where they learn a little bit more about what's going on with drinking and driving. So at the statewide level, I'm just going to talk really briefly. We have the California Youth Council, and that's a statewide youth body that has representatives from chapters, local chapters, and they were really instrumental in the 2007 reclassification of alcopops from being a being taxed as beer to being taxed as a distilled spirit. So they testified, they actually petitioned the Board of Equalization to introduce that reclassification. They testified in front of them, they were on NPR, they were in their local papers, and they did a lot of advocacy around that reclassification. And thank you. And they also have been instrumental in providing data for other young people. So there's a kids data project where they help young people use the website by Lucille Packard Foundation to map their local data and use that to drive their action planning. In terms of outcomes achieved, I'm going to skip through this pretty quickly because I have about 2 minutes, but in terms of social norms change, young people have been using something that we call the Alcohol and Tobacco and Other Drug Access Survey, and they've been able, and it looks at community norms and messages and youth access to substances, and they've seen some pretty strong shifts in social norms at the local level. And other outcomes that they've seen are policies. So it's not the end result, but they've seen local implementation of trace policies. And we also have young people in many counties who have been really instrumental in helping to pass social host ordinances. And then to close, just to talk about next steps for this work. So, you know, some of the things that we're really interested in is really examining the multiple levels of outcomes that young people are achieving. So looking, you know, people are really good at looking at the youth outcomes. So like what skills do they build? How do they grow as a person? But really looking a lot more at what they achieve at the community level. Really looking at the cost effectiveness of engaging young people. So, you know, it's expensive to work with young people in this way, but what are they achieving, and is this something that's cost effective? And then finally, what's the difference in community outcomes achieved when young people are engaged? So are there differences in youth priorities and strategies that they choose? Do they mobilize people differently? Are people more engaged in the community because young people are doing it? Is the community responding differently? And are their solutions different? So do policies look different? Are they more youth-friendly? Are policies, do they reflect youth priorities differently? Do they reflect community priorities differently? So those are some of the things that we're really interested in looking at next. So thank you.